Hey, good morning, everybody. Rabosai, Gemachas in Toba to all of you. I was asked this morning to share a few words of Chizuk directed especially to those who unfortunately will not be able to daven in shul this Yom Kippur. Today, of course, is Erev Yom Kippur, Erev Yom HaKadosh, and ordinarily, of course, a very busy day as we prepare for the Yom HaKadosh, Yom HaKippurim. And for most of us in our experience in life, Yom Kippur is a day where we spent the overwhelming majority of time in shul, and shul was the focal point. And now, unfortunately, quite a number of people, due to their current health situation, will not be able to go to shul. Just so you understand, this is a hit home to me as well. One of my grandsons is quarantined together with his classmates, and he's not able to go to shul. He's on the bar mitzvah still, but was very, very upset when he was informed just on Friday that one of the students of his class tested positive, and therefore he's in quarantine now, so he can't go to shul. And I'd just like to share with you two things that I shared with him that perhaps can provide some sort of chizik as we go into Yom Kippur. All of you know that the Torah, and hence the halacha, place a premium on life. And there's nothing at all in our entire system that's more important than saving lives and protecting lives. Ein lecha dovar omed b'fnei pikuach nefesh. Saving a life is more important than anything else. And it's interesting to note that most of the discussions in the primary discussions in the Gemaras regarding the issue of Pikuach Nefesh in general can be found in Maseches Yuma, which is a Masecht, of course, about Yom Kippur. One is required to do whatever he has to do to save a life and to preserve a life. So, for example, if it's Shabbos and a person needs to call a doctor or a person needs to drive to the hospital, whatever else it may be, it is required that the person do so, and never mind the laws of Shabbos. As a matter of fact, the halacha actually is there is a case of pikuach nefesh in public, and if someone needs to be mechal Shabbos, the halacha advises, you know who should be mechal Shabbos? Dafka, the rabbi, or one of the leading talmidei chacham in the community, he should be the one to mechal Shabbos, to show people how important this is. Okay, you don't find some person that maybe doesn't care that much anyhow. Adarabba, the person who's mechal Shabbos to save other people should be one of the rabbanim, somebody who's a Talmud Chacham, and somebody who's known as a religious, pious individual, because you have to show that in fact is halacha that we violate. It's not considered really violating. We ignore the halacha in order to save a life. So we have to call a doctor or drive to shul on Shabbos and so on. We have to eat chametz on Pesach or whatever else it may be. One does it if it's medically required. And as I said, a lot of the discussions are about this are rooted in the sugyas in the last parak of Maseches Yuma, the eighth parak of Maseches Yuma, and the Gemara discusses what the source of this idea is. How do we know that in fact saving a life is so important? And the answer that's most accepted in the Gemara has a number of different approaches, but the answer that's accepted as perhaps the best of the answers is that the pasuk says in Parshat Achrimos, which is laying on Yom Kippur, I think not accidentally, on Yom Kippur, at Mincha time, we lay in this pasuk from the end of Parshas Achrimos, where it says that the mitzvahs were given to us, b'chai bohem, in order to live by them. That's the source. The mitzvahs are given b'chai bohem, that we should live by them, and not chas v'shalom die for them, with a few extreme exceptions, murder. But other than that, every mitzvah is suspended for the sake of saving a life based on the pasuk b'chai bohem. And as I said, we dafka read that pasuk on Yom Kippur in the afternoon. And so we should never forget the important premium that the Torah and the Halacha place on saving a life. And again, it's mokar, is mepasik, that's takalein dan Yom Kippur, v'chai bohem, v'lo shiomus bohem. Now, obviously, if somebody is sick on Yom Kippur, therefore, he's allowed to eat, drink, do whatever is necessary. There are halachas, if a person can minimize it in a certain way, sometimes it's okay for the person just to take a sip of food or a taste of a drink or something. Okay, so try to minimize it. But if you can't, and the doctors declare that this is what has to be done, then the person is not allowed to fast on Yom Kippur. The person may eat on Yom Kippur. So that's one thing I want to share with you, this notion of the importance of Pikuach Nefesh and the notion of B'chai Bohem, again, laying on Yom Kippur, and the discussions are dafke found in the Masechta dealing with Yom Kippur, the Halachas of Yom Kippur in the 8th Parak of Yuma. Now, most of the people who are now quarantined, various yeshiva, from other yeshivas, I mentioned my grandson, they themselves, you yourself, are not sick, right? You probably feel fine, and very likely or very possibly won't even contract the disease, Bez Hashem. And of course, we wish a refuah shlema to all the people who have tested positive and to all the people who are sick. That goes without saying. But many of you may feel, and this is one thing my grandson said to me, again, he's a younger boy, he's still before bar mitzvah, but he said, but I feel fine, there's nothing wrong. Who says I'm even going to get it, and so on and so forth. And it's true. So there's no pikuach nefesh in that sense for you, because if you feel fine, there's no medical issue, then you must fast on Yom Kippur, of course. It's not a pikuach nefesh situation. But it's important for an observant Jew, and especially Yom Kippur time, to realize that your concern is never only about yourself. You have to concern yourself with other people as well. And even if you may not feel well, you may feel fine, okay, and you perhaps don't not ever going to get sick, but because of your exposure, you could possibly get somebody else sick, somebody else who then would, Rachman Litzan, have a very hard time, especially an older person and so on. Then your responsibility, you can't say, well, I'm okay, leave me alone, I'm fine. No, that's not our approach. Our approach is we're concerned about other people as well. And therefore, even somebody who's healthy but perhaps can be contagious and to give off, whatever the germs are and so on and so forth, and the virus to other people, so then you have a responsibility to protect those other people. Pikuach nefesh is not only saving or protecting your own life, but pikuach nefesh is saving somebody else's life. As I said before, it's dafka, the rov of the shul, the Talmid Chachamim, who in the shul, who have to make the call or violate Shabbos, even though their lives aren't in danger, but if it could save somebody else, then that's your responsibility. So I think it's important to recognize that from the get-go, that if you have to be home for Yom Kippur, it's a tough thing. There's no doubt about it. I don't minimize it. And I said to my wife, I'm sure I would be, a basket case myself if I was not allowed to go to shul. On the other hand, you have to realize that you're being mekayim a mitzvah, even if you yourself are not sick, and you yourself might not get sick, but there's even a possibility that you could get somebody else very sick, and God forbid, I don't have to tell you, you know what has happened with this pandemic. We know people who unfortunately, have gotten very ill and worse. Okay, people have died from this and so on. So your responsibility, and that is to protect other people. And that entails, Rabosai, that entails even not being able to go to shul on Yom HaKippurim and the Daven B'Yechidus. I don't know if Rabbi Schenker sent it out yet or not, but I don't know if Rabbi Schenker yet sent it out, but I prepared, actually it was my son, who was a Rav of a shul in Washington Heights, and he and I together prepared, and other shuls I'm sure did also, a list of what davening, what tefillahs you should say, and you can say most of the tefillahs, and you should say most of the tefillahs, including the piyutim, if you like, you can say the piyutim that are typically said in your shul that are found in the machzer. A few things you can't say, obviously, anything that's a dover shebekdusha that requires a minyan, baruch hu, kadosh, kedusha, and also the shlosh midos and kriyas atar. You can read the kriyas atar just without brachas and so on, and you can really say pretty much everything. You should certainly, most of the time, try to say the paragraphs about the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, the Avoda. You try to go through that yourself. In some ways, somebody has actually said to me, well, this year, since I'm alone, I'll be able to pay more attention to what I'm saying. Sometimes in the shul, they go a little fast, and they say a lot of pages very quickly sometimes. It's hard to follow what's going on. So now you have more time, perhaps, other rabbis, to spend the time reading through, the Avodas Hayom and Yom HaKippurim. Read it with the English. Read it with, those who have the Rav Soloveitchik Maser. I have an affinity for it because I was one of the editors of that. And we put together, I thought it was a very nice presentation of what the Avodas Hayom was about. So usually you don't have time to read all that during shul because it goes quickly. So now you're home alone, quote unquote, or by yourself, or maybe with someone else in your family. So other rabbi, use it as an opportunity to look at a slower pace at some of the things you might otherwise not have been able to do because you're in shul. So we can always turn something around to a positive. Yes, you'll miss some of the singing, you'll miss some of the, the grandeur of the davening. But at the end of the day, you can possibly enhance your own tefillah even more. You can enhance your own tefillah even more by perhaps going through things in a slower pace. The other thing I wanted to mention, because I don't want to take too much time, it is a busy day, but the other thing I wanted to mention that I think is worthwhile is something based on the very last Mishnah in Maseches Yoma. The last Mishnah in Maseches Yoma. I'll learn it with you. It's the last few lines. It's a statement that you've probably heard of before, okay? But I want to share an insight from Rav Soloveitchik, which again I think is highly relevant to those people who are not able to come to shul this year. The Mishnah in Maseches Yoma, the last Mishnah in Yoma, concludes, I'm reading as follows. Amar Rabbi Akiva. Some of you may know this from Lag Bomer. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael. Rabbi Akiva said, and we've seen this on Lag Bomer a lot of times because that's, Rabbi Akiva was the focal point of love this. Here's Omer period, and students passed away and so on. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael. Happy or fortunate are you, Jewish people, Lifnei mi atem mitarim, before whom do you become pure, before whom do you become purified in Yom Kippur, mi mitar eschem, who purifies you, avichem shebashamayim, your father in heaven. And it quotes Psukim, Shenema, Vizarakalechamayim Torah, Tartem, Romer Mikvi Israel, Hashem, Mamikra Mataris, Atamema, Fakarish Baruchu, Mataris Israel. That's how Maseches Yuma ends in the Mishnayos. Fakarish Baruchu is Mataris Israel. And Rabbi Kiva says, wow, we're so fortunate because before whom do we become Tahor? Before whom do we get Kapara and Yom Kippur and so on? But from the Kaddish Baruch Hu himself, he's the one, Alpha Kaddish Baruch Hu, Mitair Es Yisrael. So the question is, what exactly is Rabbi Kiva teaching us that we didn't already know? I mean, what's the Chiddush, like we'd say in Shia? What's the Chiddush? Rabbi Kiva comes on, oh, I'm a Rabbi Kiva. Wow, what a wonderful thing. Kaddish Baruch Hu is the one who is Mitair you, who purifies you, who atones your sin. No kidding. Is anybody here who didn't know that? Is anybody here who was not aware of that until Rabbi Kiva came along and tells us this is Givaldig a Chiddush, tremendous Chiddush. Oh, you know who's actually Mitair us? Kaddish Baruch Hu is Mitair us. And yeah, of course, Psukim to back it up. Well, no kidding. I mean, everybody knows that. What's the Chiddush of Rabbi Akiva? What's he telling us that we didn't already know? Surely, if this is in the Mishnah and this is a teaching of Rabbi Akiva, he must have been trying to convey a message that we wouldn't have been able to figure out on our own. And yet we wonder over here, what's he telling us? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mataris. Yeah, we know that. Rav Soloveitchik said as follows. He says, you have to remember when Rabbi Akiva lived. Rabbi Akiva lived in the generation, basically the first generation after the Churban, the destruction of the Bayis Sheni, the second Reis HaMikdash. That's when Rabbi Akiva lived. I want you to mentally transport yourself back to that time. Can you imagine the first Yom Kippur after the Reis HaMikdash was destroyed? Can you imagine that Yom Kippur after the base, after the first or the second base, it doesn't matter, the first Yom Kippur after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? People who were accustomed to going to see the Avoda actually live in the Beis HaMikdash, to see the Kohen Gadol wearing first the golden garments, then the white garments, to know the Kohen Gadol is going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to offer the Ketores, to see the red thread turn white as an indication of the forgiveness of our sins. Can you imagine what that spectacle was? How wonderful that was. And we actually highlight this in the Avoda section of Musaf on Yom Kippur. And you'll see it in there, you follow and pay attention. What unbelievable, Ashrei Ayin, how fortunate was somebody who saw that and witnessed that unbelievable spectacle in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what the people were used to. And that was Yom Kippur for them. And now suddenly, there's no more Beis HaMikdash. Right, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. That's the first generation. And the people, no Kohen Gadol, no Avodas Hayom, no Sa'ir, no goat being taken out to be pushed off the cliff at Azazel, no Chatas, no red thread turning white, nothing. Gone. Can you imagine how depressed the people of that generation who still remembered the Beis HaMikdash and who had seen the Beis HaMikdash, how they felt now? That's when Rabbi Akiva lived. Rabbi Akiva was one of the leading rabbis at that time. And you can just imagine for yourself how everything that they knew about Yom Kippur was gone, disappeared. The Beis HaMikdash was no longer destroyed, no longer standing. So therefore comes Rabbi Akiva and our mission teaches us, don't make a mistake. Who is Mitair you? It's not the Avod in the Beis HaMikdash. It's not the Karbanos, that's the Sawyer, and it's not the Ketores in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Avichem Shabbat Shemayim. It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what Akiva is telling the people. Our kapora, our tahara comes from our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay? And that's who's Mitairas. And if we're not able to have the things that we were so used to in the past, still, Avichem Shabbat Shemayim, don't lose sight of the fact that ultimately the kapora that we attain on Yom Kippur, the tahara, the purity that we attain through Yom Kippur, is because our Kodesh Baruch Hu bestows it upon us, with or without the Beis HaMikdash. That's what Akiva was saying. Of course, the people were sad that there's no Beis HaMikdash. Of course, they were going to miss the experience of what the Beis HaMikdash is all about. And of course, that was highlighted in Yom Kippur. They were so used to what they saw and experienced Yom Kippur now that was gone. Of course, they feel bad about it. But comes Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva is always, as we know from other Gemaras, the eternal optimist. Rabbi Akiva always looked for the positive in everything. You know, the Gemara in the end of Makos, right? That tells us that when Rabbi Akiva was walking together with his colleagues, the other Talmid Chachamim, and they saw the site where the Beis HaMikdash had only recently stood, and now there were animals roaming around and so on and so forth, and the other Rabbanim were crying and weeping what once was here and now isn't anyone. Rabbi Akiva was cheerful. And they asked Rabbi Akiva, what are you so cheerful about? And you all know this Gemara. And Rabbi Akiva said, because I know now that since we saw the Nevuah, the prophecy of destruction come true, the other Nevuah is going to come true too. And there's a lot to say about that Gemara. But Rabbi Akiva was always optimistic. And the other Chacham responded, Akiva Nicham Tonu, very end of Makkos, right? You comforted us. Rabbi Akiva always was able to find the positive. So I was able to find the bright side of things. I mentioned when this pandemic started, it was Pesach time, right? You remember now, it was 6 months ago, right? It was Pesach time. And all of you know what it says in the Haggadah about all the Talmid Chachamim gathering in Bnei Brak that night. Remember, they were up all night, and the students had to come tell them it's time for Shacharis, right? It's time for Krishma Shal Shacharis. You all know it's a Mishnah, but you all know the Chazal, okay? I mean, it's not a Mishnah, it's a Tosefta, I mean, but anyway, but you all know that from the Haggadah. And the question some people ask, why were they all gathered in Bnei Brak? Okay, that's what it says. Now, my Sibra Belezer, it says, Mesubim Bnei Brak. Bnei Brak is where Rabbi Kiva lived. Now, Rabbi Kiva was one of the Gedolim, but he actually wasn't the oldest of that group. And so people wonder, why were these Talmid Chachamim in Bnei Brak, of all places? Rabbi Kiva lived in Bnei Brak. That's where he was. In fact, those who have been to Bnei Brak know that one of the main streets in Bnei Brak to this day is called Rehov Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Kiva lived in Bnei Brak. So it seems like they all gathered together at Rabbi Kiva's home to have the Seder. The question is, why weren't they at someone else's home? Rabbi Elazar was there. Be sure they were older. They were Rebbeim, Rabbi Akiva's with. They didn't live in Bnei Brak. We know from other Gemaras where other people lived. So how come they gathered in Bnei Brak? So different suggestions. The Aruch HaShulchan and his Haggadah suggest, because again, this was a dark time for the Jewish people. Not only was the Beis Hamikdash destroyed relatively recently before then, but also it was a time of the so-called Hadrianic persecutions and just a very, very dark and horrible time for Jews. And they couldn't imagine celebrating a Seder. How do you celebrate a Seder? How do you celebrate Pesach? With Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we're free, and now we're living under such oppression, such horrible times, Jews being tortured, and so on and so forth. And we know eventually Rabbi Kiva himself was one of the Asura Harugei Malchus, which we read about in Kippur also. So it was a very, very bleak period in Jewish history. So the Rabbanim themselves wondered, how on earth are we going to be able to, how can we get up on Pesach night, sit at a Seder, and celebrate? We're so happy, we're redeemed, freedom, cheres. Well, look at the world around us. So they decide, you know what, let's go to Rabbi Kiva. Let's go to Bnei Brak. Rabbi Akiva, the great optimist, he'll figure out a way to tell us how we should be optimistic even in this dark time. That's what Rabbi Akiva was known for. And coming back to our mission here in the end of Yuma, coming back to what we see over here, that's Rabbi Akiva. Telling the people to be optimistic. Yes, the Beis Hamikdash has been destroyed, and we miss everything that the Beis Hamikdash represented, especially in Yom Kippur. But ultimately, it's not about the Beis Hamikdash. It's not about the Avodas Hayom, as important it was. It's Avichem Shabashamayim. It's our Father in Heaven. It's Avinu Shabashamayim. That's who gives us our Kapara and our Tahara. And I think that that's a powerful message, especially for Talmidim such as yourselves and other people who are not able to go to Shul this Yom Kippur. Will you miss it? Yes. Is it a challenge? Yes. But at the end of the day, that's not what brings about the Kapara and the Tahara Yom Kippur. It's Avichem Shabashamayim. Ultimately, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even if I'm davening at home, and I don't have a minyan, I can't say everything that I would say in shul, but as I said before, you can turn it into a positive and say certain things maybe with greater kavona and deeper understanding, because you can make your own pace. You're not sometimes in pressure to keep up with the tzibur, etc. You can make it into a positive. And remember this lesson of Rabbi Akiva. Again, Rabbi Akiva was talking to a generation that had witnessed the Beis Hamikdash, had seen it, and had seen what it looked like in the Beis Hamikdash from Kippur, and now no longer had that. And he was trying to, in effect, be mechazik them and tell them, as important as the Beis Hamikdash is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still there. And that's who ultimately gives us what we want in Yom Kippur. And so I strongly suggest that you think about this message. You keep this in mind, this unusual Yom Kippur. If you're not able to go to shul, and again, we extend our best wishes and tefillahs for refuah shleimah for the people who are takasik, and hopefully the people, just because you may have been exposed, but hopefully you won't get it. We won't have to, you won't have to experience any discomfort and illness and so on. But Lamaisa, this Yom Kippur, you're home, you're doing the right thing, you're protecting other people's lives, understanding the significance of Pikuach Nefesh, I spoke about at the beginning, and ultimately you'll get your tefillahs that'll come true, Be'ez Hashem, the way you want them to Nis Yom Kippur, because it's not being in shul, it's not Kol Nidre, and it's not the Avodas Hayom by the Chaz and the Musaf, it's not Ne'il in shul that does it. It's Avichem Shabashamayim, Ma Mikveh Mitaris HaTameim, Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitaris, ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who brings about our Tahara, who brings about our Kapara, and He Ratzon, that all of us, whether we're in shul or we're not in shul, we're able to daven properly, we're able to recognize that at the end of the day, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who brings everything that we want and who grants us our tefillahs. And hopefully all of us will be given full kapara and full tahara for all of our aveiros that we've done. We'll be mekabel doing tshuva, to try not to do more of errors in the future and to be as the best people we possibly can. And we'll take this opportunity, this unusual Yom Kippur, that maybe we're not able to be in shul, we'll make it into a positive, and we'll bear in mind that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one who grants us what we want, and we should all be zoche to be given the kapar and the tar that we daven for, and we'll all be blessed with a Gemar Chasima Tova, a good year, a healthy year, a year of growth in Torah and in learning, and success in all of our endeavors for ourselves and our family. A Guten Yontif, the Gemar Chasima Tova to all.
Thank you.
Yashua. Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi.